Who died and made you king? Has anybody said that to you before, or have you used that expression? Who are you to tell me what to do, is the essence of the question. My children, they were young, came up with an expression that I wasn't familiar with in my youth when they would ask, or they would express the feeling, "You're not the boss of me." I had to scratch my head over that because I indeed was the boss of them. As they grew to become adolescents and teenagers, though, they came up with another phrase. It was a way to say yes, but in the same way, saying no, when they would say, "Whatever." It seems that we're born with that feeling to fight authority, or at least ask questions about authority. In many ways, it's good. It's good to ask those questions. And it's good for us to reflect and to ask ourselves what is directing or who is guiding our life. Who or what is pulling us along as we live each day? Jesus understood how in life, in many ways, there were the forces that pulled and tugged on us. And so, he would extend instead an invitation to follow. And his disciples would go and tell others to come and to see. An invitation to discover and become aware of what was taking place. We read this morning in Mark's Gospel then how Jesus at the beginning of his ministry goes to the synagogue and there he taught. Just as was his practice throughout his life. It was common that in those days someone would be chosen to teach in the synagogue. And when one would teach in that tradition, the sources for direction and the sources of authority were the law and the prophets. That would be the foundation of any lesson that was shared by the scribes or the learned ones. But we are told that as Jesus teaches, as he taught, he spoke as one with authority. This is more than just telling someone what to do, but rather that Jesus spoke not an interpretation of the scriptures, not an interpretation of the prophets or of the law, but rather Jesus spoke with authority. He spoke the voice of God, speaking directly to the people with the voice of God. And the people, upon hearing this teaching, the people, upon seeing his actions, then would ask the question, well, what is this? What is this that one who teaches with such authority, who speaks the voice of God and acts the ways of God, what is this? For the authority of Jesus is on display as well. And that he has authority to rule the kingdom, the emerging presence of God in the world that would influence all the world, and the characteristics of this kingdom would be to rescue and to heal, to restore and to reconcile relationships. We read about how Jesus is confronted by one with an unclean spirit, we are told. "What have you to do with us?" he has asked. "Are you here to destroy us?" The description of the one with an unclean spirit is one who there is a force within who desires to do harm. There is a force that one is under the influence of. And because of that force, because of that power, there is a sense of helplessness. Of one who is enslaved and cannot free oneself. But the actions that are taken by Jesus show that the way of the kingdom is on display. And that all destructive forces will be faced and removed. But that Jesus would exchange one thing for another, take away the enslaving forces of life and replace them with the embrace of God's love. That when Jesus brings about healing and rescue, it is to bring people together. That where there is division and separation, there is healing and there is repair. In this kingdom, no matter how much one suffers, no matter how much one struggles, nothing will lessen the love of God for each and every individual. Now, this lesson isn't always carried out in the way in which we live our own lives as much as we may try. There's a story of some years ago of two hikers who were out hiking in the desert, and they were confronted by a rattlesnake, and one of them was bitten. So it was decided that the one who was bitten by the snake would just lie on the ground, and his friend would go and find assistance. And so he ran down the trail and got to the car and went to the nearest phone and called the doctor's office and asked the doctor, "What am I to do?" In those days, the instructions were, well, to take a knife to cut where the bite took place, suck out the venom and spit it on the ground. And so the friend goes back into his car and hikes up the trail and finds his friend still lying on the ground. The friend lying on the ground says, "Well, what did the doctor say?" And his friend replied, "You're going to die." So far from our inhibitions and our struggles to bring rescue and healing, it is the promise that Jesus shares. The promise that comes with the invitation to follow. The word that is used there is a description going back to the educational practices of the Greeks. Now, some of you here were probably elementary school teachers. Raise your hand if you were taught elementary school and young children. How many of you went to elementary school or when children at, or were young children at one time? You remember those early writing examples that were given and how then one learned to read, to write by following. You were given two horizontal lines, and in the middle of those lines was a dashed line that told you where the halfway point was, right? And often to further help you along, you had the dashes for all the letters. This was particularly important when you got to the cursive stuff. And so then you had four or five examples where you would trace along the letter and then you would start doing it on your own. When Jesus speaks the following, he's using this image, this illustration. And if we use the lines and the tracings, even the Greek practice was to give you a surface that was made out of a waxy material that grooves were formed and you could actually then write and follow the grooves themselves. And so this was the practice instructing on how to write. But to go even beyond that, beyond the lines and the tracings, the hand of the teacher was placed on the student to guide. We all know as we went through those lessons how trying to copy could be discouraging. And papers would often be filled with eraser marks and corrections. But here you have a guiding hand as well. "Follow, and I will guide you. The path is marked, and I will take your hand." And so then we too can share that message of "come and see, for it is something good." That is the good news. For any message is wrong if it ultimately just leads to one being depressed or discouraged. Now the good news, the message, may begin with an insight that causes us to look into ourselves and recognize our sinfulness, to reflect on our behaviors and on our attitudes. But that's just the beginning of the message. For the good news always ends leading to God's love and to God's grace, to healing, to restoration and reconciliation. Now I'm going to try once again with a story that has failed last night and earlier this morning. But I know that it's now later in the morning, the sun is starting to break through the fog, our minds are clearing. There's a story about a woman who goes to a hypnotherapist. She goes to the hypnotherapist because through hypnosis she wants to forget. She wants to forget her past behavior. Because she is filled with guilt and shame about how she has treated her husband and her children, her family. And so asks the hypnotherapist to use his skills and his talents to help her forget. The hypnotherapist says to himself, "Oh no, not again." Is this sinking in? It may not have been it wasn't the first, it may have been the second, the third, even the fourth time she had been there. Oh, now you're laughing. The reason for sharing that story, why I insist on telling it again and again and again, is how then the good news is that how we are washed, and how the good news is how we have been filled with grace and we have been forgiven. That all that has taken place in the past is washed away as if it never took place at all. The good news is the message that may be of surprise to many. And so they would ask that question, well, what is this? And as we are guided, we share the good news. We share the message of healing, of restoration. We share the message of grace and the message of love. Amen.